This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Thank you, Jean. Good morning, everybody. It's a great joy to be with you. I've been so excited about coming to be a part of this beautiful family, this community of disciples who love Jesus. Amen. And I'm excited about what God wants to do this morning. So thank you for your warm welcome. It's great to be here with my wife, Melissa, and our kids. And really expectant for what God wants to do this morning. Just by way of introduction, I just want to share something that I felt like the Lord just laid on my heart while we were worshiping, which will lead us into what I want to share with you this morning. But you may remember that scripture in the book of Revelation where obviously John is quoting Jesus. And he says this, he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If any man or woman would open the door, I will come in and I will dwell with them." And it says, I will feast with them. There's a picture of coming in and having a five-course meal together. And that was written to the church, where it's as if Jesus was standing at the door of the church and he's knocking and he's saying, I don't want to stay on the outside. I want to come in. And it's coming into us as a community of believers, but it's coming into our hearts too. And the thing about that door is that I've often shared this with my kids, that door has one handle and it's on the inside. It's on my side. And God stands at the door of my heart, our hearts, us as a people. And he knocks on the door, but he waits for us to go, "Lord, would you come in?" And I just had the sense this morning that the Father is always standing at the door of our church, of our lives, of our nation, knocking, saying, "I want to come in." And I don't know about you, but sometimes like religiosity seems to suggest that if God comes in, then it's rules and regulations, and these are the things we must do in order to be right before God. But that scripture says, "If I come in, I will feast with you." And so when he comes in, he doesn't come to destroy your life; he comes to give you life. He doesn't come to give you a bunch of rules and regulations that you must now perfectly observe in order to be, you know, like for him to be pleased with you. He says, "I want to come in and I want to have a massive five-course meal with you and celebrate with you and feast with you. And I want to unlock your relationship with me and the potential and the destiny that I have for you." Does that make sense? And so I want to pray now before I kind of climb into what God has put on my heart. But I feel like that's what God is doing this morning. And so maybe we can take that handle on the door of our hearts and open it this morning and say, "God, come in and do whatever you want in my life this morning." Can you say amen? Are you with me? Yeah. So shall we pray? Shall we just close our eyes together? And we don't have to get all weird and religious. Let's just be normal with Jesus. Amen. And let's just invite the Holy Spirit to come and do whatever he wants to do in our lives this morning. So Father, we want to start this morning by declaring that you are awesome, Father, that we love you. We love your presence more than anything else. And this morning, as we come together and we sit under your word, Father, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would be welcomed, that you'd be honored, and that you would do whatever you want to do. And Lord, this morning, we open the door of our hearts. Can you just do that yourself? Can you imagine just doing that? Open the door to your heart this morning and just invite Holy Spirit to come, Jesus the Father, to come and live in you, and just he wants to bless you. He wants to invite you to a banquet, to a feast, to a place of joy. You know, the Bible says that the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and it's joy in the Holy Spirit. And so he wants to welcome you into joy. He wants to welcome you into freedom. And so, Father, we open that door today and we say, "Lord, would you come in and do whatever you want to do today in the name of Jesus?" And we all said, "Amen." Amen. So I want to share a word this morning that I think might be there. You might be able to see that. It's called Awakened and Untied. But by way of introduction, a little bit of our journey and where this came out of. I grew up in Cape Town in Rondebosch in the southern suburbs. And as a family, we didn't really go to church like on a Sunday. But for some reason, from a young age, I just knew that God was real. I don't know how. I think it was just the Holy Spirit. And I had this desire to know him. That said, I didn't really know what to do with that. And so throughout the school kind of years and teenage years, I had this awareness of God, and I kind of read the Bible every now and again. You know what I'm talking about? Maybe you can relate. But I kind of had one foot in God and one foot in the world. I had too much of God in me to really love the world and too much of the world in me to really love God. And I was kind of on the fence, and that's not a great place to be. Yeah, maybe you've been there yourself. But it all changed in July 1995. I went to a church service in Cape Town, and there was a man speaking by the name of Floyd McClung. I don't know if any of you know of him, and he really needs our prayers right now. He's been really sick for quite a long time. But he wrote that book, The Father Heart of God. Maybe some of you have read that book. And he spoke that night, and it was absolutely like earth-shattering, life-changing. And as he spoke, there were probably 700-800 people in the room, but I felt like he was speaking to me. And at the end of the service, the band came forward and people started to leave. And I got up. I was 19 years old and I was second year university. I was about to leave like everyone else did. And I didn't know what happened, but the Holy Spirit fell on me in that moment. And what I mean by that is that I stood up about to go, and literally I suddenly began, my whole body began to shake violently. I began to weep, and I'm like, what is wrong with you? You're not even upset about anything. And here I am crying and I can't stop. And for half an hour, I had this encounter with the Holy Spirit. And it completely changed my life, and it caused this fire to begin to burn in my spirit that 20-something years later, it hasn't gone out. In fact, it's gotten bigger. And there's a faith and there's a fire and a passion in my heart to know Jesus and to tell the whole world about him. But here's the thing that happened to me that I want to share with you. I knew the word and I loved the word, but it was when the Holy Spirit came and breathed upon my heart and upon the word that was already in my heart that I came to life. And I really feel like God wants to pour out his spirit on his church. Amen. He's doing it all over the world, and he wants to do that here constantly, week in and week out. He wants to breathe life into us, to awaken our hearts to who he is and to what he's done for us. So I had this encounter with God, and my whole life changed. I finished my degree at the University of Cape Town, ended up working amongst young people. We ended up leading a church in Cape Town. Then we led a church in Durban. And then we went and lived in the UK for a number of years, and I was involved with a bunch of churches there and in Europe and so on. And to be honest, I thought that was our home, like, for the rest of our lives. But 3.5 years ago, we ended up moving back to South Africa. I never thought that would happen. I mean, not that I didn't want to, because I love South Africa. It's my home. But we came back, and having been involved with ministry and all this stuff for 20-odd years, knowing exactly what the path would look like, I found myself in a season that I often describe to people as, what now? Anyone know what I'm talking about? Have you been in a space where it's like, oh my goodness, what is happening? Jesus, are you still on the throne? Is everything, you know, like God, where's my life going? And we went into the season of just, Lord, I don't know what's next for us as a family, for me, what I'm supposed to be doing, for my wife, for us. And on that journey, I felt like the Lord said to me, Mark, in this next season, I want you to live in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I'm like, yeah, I've read that many times before. And he's like, no, I want you to immerse yourself in the word, and I'm going to speak you out of that space. And so I was reading and enjoying it. And the one day I was reading in the Gospel of John, and I got to the story in John chapter 11 that you might have read before, which is the story of Jesus and Lazarus. Remember that story? Okay. And as I read the story, like, I've read it hundreds of times before, but as I read the story, sometimes the Holy Spirit takes the word and he just brings it alive. Yeah, and he's like, whoa, I've read this, but it's like, it's new to me today. Okay, so I read the story of Jesus and Lazarus, a bit of background, and then I'm going to read a bit of the text to you in a moment. But basically, Jesus is friends with Lazarus, who's the brother of Mary and Martha, and Jesus is away ministering somewhere, and word is sent to Jesus that Lazarus is not at all well. He's really sick. And they say, you need to come and, like, because you're Jesus, you know, you need to come and sort this out. But Jesus continues to minister in the place where he was for another, I think, 3 or 4 days. And then suddenly he turns to the disciples. He says, guys, we've got to go and we've got to wake Lazarus up. So the disciples are like, but surely if he's not well and he's sleeping, why would you wake him up? Let him sleep and then everything's going to be okay. And Jesus says, no, he's dead. We're going to go and we're going to raise him from the dead. So they go back to the town and they meet Mary and Martha, who, as you can imagine, are really distraught and they're upset and whatever. If only you'd been there. And he goes, it's fine. Like, I'm the resurrection and the life, hallelujah, and we're going to go and we're going to raise him up. So they go to the tomb, okay, and they roll away the tomb, and let's pick it up. If you can put that scripture on the board for us, that would be really helpful, and let's see what happens in the story. So John chapter 11, reading from verse 38, it says the following. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb, and it was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there for 4 days. Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" Now, at that point, you should be going, "Amen." Yes? Are you with me? Like, if you believed, you would see the glory of God. Okay? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and he said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and his feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Then Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Another translation says, "Untie him and release him." Anyway, so I read the story, and I know the story before, and I've read it before, and I've probably preached on it before, and I get to the space where Jesus goes to Lazarus. He's dead. He's been in the tomb. They roll away the stone, and what happens is he speaks into the tomb, "Lazarus, come forth." In other words, he calls him from a place of death to a place of life. He awakens him from the dead. So Lazarus is raised from the dead, and he comes out of the tomb. But how do we find what's happening with Lazarus as he comes out of the tomb? Well, the story says that he comes out, he's alive, but he's still bound by the grave clothes that were put around him when he died. It says he's got grave clothes around his hands and around his feet and around his face. And the point is this, that this man was alive, but he was still bound. So Jesus turns to the people around, and what does he say? He says, "Untie this man, loose this man, and let him go and let him be free." And so I felt like God said to me, "Mark, this is what I'm doing in your life, but this is what I'm doing in the body of Christ all over the world." That I get the privilege of traveling from church to church. I spend time in different countries. And I can tell you that this is what the Holy Spirit seems to be doing in so many people's lives. Number one, just like he raised Lazarus from the dead, many people in the body of Christ have kind of been sleeping, and the Holy Spirit is awakening their hearts to who he is and to what he's done and to why he made them. There's this coming alive. There's this kind of end of the season of slumber and sleep, because I'm awakening you to who I really am. But not just that. God didn't want him only awake. He wanted him free. And there's something about not just being awakened, but there's something about that the Holy Spirit is wanting to untie men and women from the grave clothes that have been around them and binding them and holding them captive, because he doesn't want you just awake. He wants you completely free to be the man, the woman that God has called you to be. Does that make sense to anybody? So I began to think about this. God, what are you saying to me? And this whole sense of being awakened. Okay. And then I remembered a prayer that Paul prayed in the book of Ephesians chapter 1. And he says this. He says, "May God give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation that you would know him better." Then watch this. He says this. "May he open the eyes of your heart that you might know three things. Number one, the hope to which you've been called. Number two, the glorious inheritance in the saints. And number three, his incomparably great power for us who believe." And so Jesus came to the earth not just to open the blind eyes physically of people. He came to open our eyes, the eyes of our hearts, that we could see. Does that make sense? So Paul's praying, and he's saying, "I pray that the eyes of your hearts would be enlightened or awakened." What is he awakening us to? Well, number one, he's awakening us to the hope to which we've been called. Do you know that God has got a call and a purpose and a destiny for your life? Woohoo! Okay, get excited. Permission granted. Hallelujah. Smile on your face, please. There we go. Okay. He has a purpose for your life. But I used to think that calling equaled primarily what I did. But then I began to realize that I'm called primarily to him. And guys, I believe that the Father, the Holy Spirit, is wanting to awaken our hearts to the glory and the beauty of simply who he is. Do you know, when Jesus walked the earth, people were captivated by his presence. You know, there's this one moment when he fed the 5,000. Remember the 4,000 and the 5,000? And he's about to feed them, and he turns to his disciples, and he says, "These people have been with us for 3 days. Perhaps we should give them something to eat." Okay? Have you thought about this? I think when they started following Jesus like 3 days prior, I don't know that they all would have gone, "Guys, make sure you pack a picnic." Yeah? I think they were just like, "There he goes. You better go quickly, because you don't want to miss out on what he's going to be doing." So the possibility exists that for 3 days they were so captivated by Jesus that they kind of forgot to eat. And then he's like, maybe we should feed these people. And the disciples are panicking, 5,000 people, where are we going to get the food, call a pizza, like that's not even going to work. So he multiplies the food and he feeds them. But here's the thing that touched my heart. These people were so captivated by the presence of Jesus that they prioritized him over their natural needs. I don't know what was it about this man that caused people to leave everything behind? Like these fishermen, yeah? They had their business, their income, their families, and they were like, they saw Jesus and they were like, forget about that, we're going with him. There must have been something about this man, about the way he spoke, the way he treated people, something about his eyes. I don't know, but there was something about this Jesus that caused people to leave everything to be with him. You know what breaks my heart is that I feel like as the church, in inverted commas, we have almost made Christianity an institution rather than a relationship. And I get the fact that organizational aspects need to be in place for the church. But so often you look around and people are bored in the presence of God because they're just going through the motions of singing a nice song. And you're amazing. You didn't do that. But sometimes you see people and they're just like, kumbaya, hallelujah, when's this over? I'm waiting for my roast chicken. And if we can just get this guy can keep quiet. I'm like, what? Are you joking? When you see Jesus, forget about the roast chicken because you just want to be with him. And I feel like God is wanting to renew our first love. He wants to bring us into his presence, to captivate our hearts, to awaken our hearts to simply, Jesus, you are enough. So Paul prays that the eyes of our hearts would be awakened to the hope to which we've been called. Number two, the glorious inheritance in the saints. What is inheritance? What is he praying? Inheritance is what I get because of what someone else has done. So what? When was Easter? Like 2-3 weeks ago? Yeah? We spoke about the cross. We had communion this morning. I think what he was praying that the eyes of our hearts would be awakened to what we get because of what he has done. Okay, and if you and I will realize that when Jesus hung on that cross and declared, it is finished, he wasn't joking. He actually meant, it's done. I've done it all for you to be completely forgiven, completely set free, totally repositioned. I mean, in fact, Ephesians says that we are now seated with Christ in heavenly places. You are not, Jesus didn't come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people live. Hello, anyone out there? And so because of what he's done, you are repositioned to stand before God as pure and holy. You're a new creation carrying the presence of God. South Africa, the world, look out, here comes the army of heaven. Amen. So he wants to awaken your heart to who he is, to what he's done for you. But then he prays in that Ephesians prayer to the incomparably great power for us who believe. What is that? I believe that he wants to awaken our hearts to the Spirit-led life. He wants to awaken your hearts to what is possible if you live completely devoted to Jesus. Guys, so much of the church is kind of living just saved. Like, oh, praise God, hallelujah, I'm forgiven. And you are, but forgiveness is not the goal. It's a means to a far greater reality. He wants to forgive you. He wants to set you free so that you could become the person that God always saw that you would become. Are you with me? Does that make sense? And here's the passion of God's heart. Not only does he want to be a father to you in your world, what he longs for is for you and I to become sons and daughters in his world. He's awakening us to who he is, to what he's done, but to the potential that exists inside of each and every one of our lives. Okay. So number one, what's he doing? He is awakening hearts. But then the second thing I read in this John story, this Lazarus story, is that he wants him awake, he wants him alive, but he wants to untie him from the grave clothes that were around him. And I feel like what the Holy Spirit is doing is he's untying people from the things that have bound them or prevented them from being who God made them to be, okay? You know, the story of God, the story of the gospel is one of freedom. It's one of, just think about Moses going to Egypt. The children of Israel, yeah, have been in Egypt as slaves for 400 years. God raises up Moses, a deliverer, to set the captives free, to bring these people out of Egypt, but not just out of Egypt, but into the promised land. Okay, it's a story of freedom. That's a prophetic story speaking to what Jesus came to do. He came to pull us out of sin. He came to pull us out of religion. He came to pull us out of the hurts and the pains that have defined us for so long. He's saying, let's do away with those grave clothes of death. Let's untie you, unravel you, that you're not only awake, but you're completely set free. Does that make sense to you? And I want to submit to you as a church that I feel like with my God-given imagination, I feel this morning, I can see it's like there are angels, don't freak out, angels are beautiful things, in the room this morning that are coming and saying, let's untie you, let's unravel you from the grave clothes that have been around you for so long. So many people are still bound, but he wants to set us free. I remember a number of years ago, we used to live in Durban for a season, and we went up on holiday to the Drakensberg. Anyone been to the Drakensberg? And we went to this amazing place where they had all these birds of prey. And, you know, they got all the awesome birds. And we arrived, and there was this one massive eagle that was kind of perched on this tree. What was the eagle's name, guys? Do you remember? Mr. Eagle. Who knows? Anyway, there was Mr. Eagle. And I walked in, and I saw this bird, huge bird. And when it stretched out its wings, it was like a baby airplane. I mean, this thing was massive. Yeah. But there it was, sitting on this perch with this tiny little chain around its foot and therefore grounded. So the show went on and it was amazing. And then like I was like, I love your little pigeons over there, but I want to see what the eagle can do. And I'm waiting. And eventually he goes up and he unlocks this eagle. And all of a sudden, it took off and began to flap its wings. And eventually, you know, they lock into position and they wait for the thermals to get underneath them. And off it went. And it was absolutely incredible. And I thought, you know, that's like the church. So many people are still bound with this chain around their feet. And God's saying, I've come to set you free that you could fly like an eagle. In fact, Isaiah says, those who wait upon the Lord will rise up with wings like an eagle. And they will run and not grow weary and walk and not be faint. God wants to get underneath you and say, I made you for a purpose and a destiny. It's time to walk into your promised land. Can someone say amen to that? So he's awakening us, yeah? What'd you say? Say he's awakening us. Say it with me. He's awakening us, but he's untying us. And he wants you to be completely set free. Amen. Makes sense. Okay, so I'm going to bring this together now. Yesterday, I was doing various things, and I felt like God just spoke to me through something that happened yesterday morning. In about 2 weeks' time, I'm heading off to the UK and to Europe. I'm going to be in Germany and traveling around the UK and ministering in various places. And I was booking my flights and all that kind of stuff. And then part of the trip, I'm going to be in Newcastle up in the northeast of England, and I got to go down to Manchester area. And so I had to book a train ticket for one of the legs of the journey. Anyway, so I go online and I'm booking this train ticket, and it says what you need to do is you need to download the app. Okay, I'm going somewhere with this, don't panic. And purchase the ticket through the app. So I do that, and I the card details in, etc. And then I get this email back, and it said, thank you for your purchase. The money's gone off your account, but the ticket is going to appear in the app in the My Tickets section. And then it says this is not your ticket, okay? This is confirmation of your ticket, but on the day of journey, what you need to do is you need to activate the ticket, and then you can use it. And I'm like, I have the ticket, it's been bought, but I can't use it yet until the day of the journey. Then I'm going to activate the ticket. And I said to my son who's with me, I said, I feel like that's what the Holy Spirit does. Jesus died on the cross for you to be saved, for you to be forgiven. The transaction has taken place. He's in my heart. But what he wants to do is he wants to activate the Holy Spirit, the potential, the destiny that's in my life and your life to become the people that God always said that we would become. So for me, 20-something years ago, I had an encounter with the Holy Spirit. I believe that's what he did. He activated the train ticket. Are you with me? He activated the deposit that was put inside of me. Why? Because he doesn't want me just to come and go, hallelujah, I'm forgiven, which I am, praise Jesus, and just go through the motions of church. I did my duty on a Sunday morning. Come on, surely there's more to life than just going through the motions of my 1.5 hours in church on a Sunday. Please make sure you come back next week. It's important that you do. But surely Christianity is more than 1.5 hours meeting on a Sunday. Hello? Surely Jesus died for more than just for you to attend a meeting. Now, please don't tell Pastor Heinrich I said that. He's probably listening to me already. You get what I'm saying? This is the community, the gathering. It's so important. But surely he awakened your heart that you could live full and free and go touch this world that desperately needs the goodness of God that is in your life. So guys, God is raising up a people who will truly believe that God is who he says he is, that you are who he says that you are, that you can do the things that he says that you can do. He's looking for a people who will step out of the boat, get out of their comfort zone and say, come on, guys, what are we going to do about our city? What are we going to do about our nation? I want to represent God, the true God, to the world in which we live. Okay? Yes? No? Maybe? Oopsie daisy? Hello? Everybody all right? So he's knocking at the door of our hearts this morning. He wants to come in. And I know he's in, but he wants to come and he wants to activate. He wants to bring to life that which the Spirit of God has put inside of you. Because when he looks at you, he created you to be someone. He called you to do something. How many of you like sport? Anyone like sport? I'm a bit of a sport nut. I used to play a lot of sport, but now most of the sport for me is watching the sport. Okay, and it's nice to watch the sport, but honestly, I would much rather be on the field. You talking about? And sadly, so many of us spectate the move of God, when actually we're invited to get on the field and play the game. Okay, so what I want to ask you this morning is we're going to stand to our feet, and maybe the worship team can come back and join me up front. Okay, I really want to give us an opportunity this morning to respond to what God is saying to us today. So let's all stand to our feet. And maybe the pianist, where's the pianist? Thank you. If you could just play a little bit in the background, that would be absolutely brilliant. Guys, everyone look at me. Does that make sense to anybody? Does that speak to your heart? Anybody? Was it just me? Okay, you're all good? Okay, is it speaking to you? So I really hope that you've heard a message, but you've heard more than that. Because the kingdom of God is not only taught, it's caught. Okay? It's not just about information, it's about revelation. All right? And so I look around this morning, and I know that probably many of you have been walking with Jesus for a long time. You've probably been in church for many years. That's wonderful. Well done. Praise God. But I feel like the Holy Spirit wants to come and do something. More. How many of you are hungry for the more of God? You can have as much as you want. He's just looking for a people who are hungry, for a people who are thirsty. He's looking for a people who will dare to believe that it's true. You know, Jesus' life, I believe, is a role model and an example of what's possible for someone who lives fully dependent upon the Holy Spirit. You're created in His image. In fact, John 14 says, greater things than these will you do. And we read that and we go, nah, he didn't really mean that. No, he did. He did, 100%. Greater things. So what things did he do? Well, Jesus raised the dead. Jesus healed the sick. Jesus cleansed those who had leprosy. Jesus turned the world upside down. And he said, greater things than these will you do. And we're like, no, that's for my neighbor. No, it's for you. It's for you. Surely there's more to life than just paying the bills and then dying one day. Surely? Like, if there isn't, I don't know why I'm here. I believe there's more to life. And before God formed you, he knew you. Psalm 139 says he knew every day that would come before it even came to you. I don't know what people have told you. I don't know what parents have told you, authority figures have told you. Maybe they've told you that you're never going to do great things. I want to tell you that's a lie from the pit of hell, because God created you to be someone and he called you to do something. And you are special and you are unique and you are wonderful and he loves you and he's proud of you. I don't know what your view of God is. Many people, as I spend time with people all over the world, many people see God as this distant authority figure just waiting to punish you the moment you do something wrong. That is a lie from the pit of hell. God is a father who loves you, cares for you, he delights in you. He sings over you. He celebrates your life. And you know, as a father, for me, as a dad, My greatest joy is to see my kids discover who God is and to do the things that He made them to do. I get excited when my kids flourish and thrive. How much more does the Heavenly Father say that about you? Guys, God has got a smile on His face. He's excited about you. He's proud of you. And He can't wait to see you do all the things that He made you to do. Amen? Does that make sense? Okay, so I'm going to pray now. But I specifically feel like there are people here today, as you've listened to me speak and hopefully the Holy Spirit speak through me, there's people here today, your heart is pounding because you know what I've been saying is the truth. And you're going, God, I'm done. I'm done with wandering around the desert. I'm done with living half-hearted. Today, God, I am making a declaration. I'm all in. And God, I'm all in for you. I'm all in to do what you've called me to do. And just like that train ticket needs to be activated, I believe that as we give God our yes this morning, I believe the Holy Spirit wants to come and He wants to activate something inside of your spirit. Okay? And so what I'm going to do is, as the worship team plays in the background, after I've prayed, if you would like prayer this morning, if you would like to respond this morning to what has been kind of commissioned this morning, said to you this morning, if you're saying, Mark, I want the more of God, would you pray for me? Then I want you to get out of your seat and come and stand down at the front here. This is not a salvation altar call. This is just, I want everything that God has for me. Would you pray for me? And I'm going to lay hands on you. And I'd love to do that. So let's pray together and then we can respond. Holy Spirit, we invite you to come, Lord Jesus. We ask you to come, Father. Just close your eyes everywhere across this room. And just call on the name of the Lord. Just invite Jesus to come. Open the door of your heart. And just say, God, today I'm asking you to awaken my heart again, Lord. I'm asking you to untie me. Set me free, Jesus. God, I want to give you my heart again today, Lord. I want to be the man or the woman that you've created me to be. I want to do the things that you've called me to do, Lord. I'm done with half-hearted. I'm done with one foot in, one foot out. I'm done with going through the motions. God, I want to be the person you've made me to be. I want to walk with you. I want to do the things you've called me to do, Jesus. If that's the prayer of your heart and you're saying, God, I want to be prayed for this morning. I want to recommit my heart to Jesus. I want to just devote my whole life to Him. Then as the guys, perhaps you can sing a song for us this morning. Then just come down to the front. Come and stand down here. And we would love to lay hands on you and pray for you this morning. So feel free to come. Can we sing a song? You guys respond to the Lord. Respond to what God is doing.
Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. To the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar.
Thank you, Jesus. Just everybody, keep your eyes closed for a moment. And I want to share with you what I see. I'm just reminded of the story that Jesus told in Luke chapter 15, speaking about God being our Father. And there's a moment in the story where the Father is waiting with expectation and hope for his son to come home. And as this young man comes home, the father begins to run. And he begins to run to his son. And when he gets to him, he embraces him and he hugs him and he kisses him and he puts a robe on his shoulders and sandals on his feet and a ring on his finger. And as you came forward a moment ago, I felt like God was beginning to run to us. And as much as we are coming to him, I see the Father coming and he's running to us and he's saying, I've been longing for this moment. I've been waiting for this moment that we could come and be together. And I want us all, perhaps everybody, to take your hand and put it on your own heart for a moment. Everybody put your hand on your own heart. And Father God is coming by the Holy Spirit right now to welcome your heart home. And he's hugging you and he's holding you. He's not judging, he's not condemning. He doesn't have a list of all the things that you've done wrong. He's simply opening up his arms and he's saying, welcome home. And he's loving you. And I believe that he's healing people's hearts. And I believe that there's a restoration that's taking place right now. I just see the Holy Spirit like rain falling on the earth. And he's falling on our hearts and he's healing and he's restoring and he's loving and he's cleansing. And it's just waves and waves of grace, God's grace just being poured out upon people's hearts. I can see people's hearts, and it almost feels like, for some of us, it feels like there have been these chains around our hearts, but God is coming and he's breaking the chains off of our hearts where we can feel again. I feel like there's people here and you would say, Mark, I've walked by faith for so long, but I feel like I've lost the ability to feel. I've lost the ability to feel his presence. I feel like I've done the right thing and I've gone through the motions. I've done what I'm supposed to do, but I feel like I've lost the ability to feel his love. Would anyone say that's me? Yeah? Yeah. So he's coming right now by the gentle presence of the Holy Spirit, and he's breaking those chains off. And he's taking away a spirit of heaviness, and he's giving you the oil of joy. Just with your hand on your heart, just take a deep breath in. Everyone just breathe in. Just imagining you're breathing not just air, but you're breathing his presence into your heart. And he's breaking those chains and he's healing and he's restoring. And I feel like the oil of joy is returning to people's hearts. How many of you would say, oh, that's, I want that so badly? Anybody would say, that's what I want? I just take it by faith this morning. And our joy is not based on our circumstances. It's based on who he is and how much he loves us. And he wants to immerse you in his joy. Just let him come. We're not in a rush. We're just inviting Holy Spirit to do whatever he wants to do. Come, Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. He's restoring the dance. He's restoring the song in you. He's restoring his joy to your heart. Freedom. 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 And I see that many people can really relate to that whole thing about being untied. And I feel like there's many who have felt bound and kind of tied up by past hurts and pains and fears and offenses and things that have happened. And God is saying, today is your day of freedom. You know, this morning when I woke up, for some reason, often when I wake up, I have a song in my heart. And this morning when I woke up, I woke up singing, "This is the day of Jubilee." This is the day of Jubilee. And Jubilee was all about freedom. And I feel like God is saying, today is a day of Jubilee for people. Today is a day of freedom where no longer are you bound by your past. No longer are you bound by the things that have happened. God says, today I set you free. How many of you are saying, God, would you untie me this morning? Anybody? Anybody saying, God, untie me, liberate me. Just let him come. Holy Spirit, come. Liberate and untie. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Just, if you can, just lift up a song. Just sing a song to the Lord. Not one that's ever been written before. Just sing your own song. Lift up your hands. Lift up your heart. Lift up your voice. It's time to sing again. It's time to sing again. Can everybody look, just open your eyes and just look at me for a moment. Maybe just pause on the prayers that are being prayed for a moment. Just look at me for a moment. I feel like I want to read something that I feel is a prophetic declaration over you this morning. As I was standing, I felt like God just reminded me of the scripture. It's from the Song of Songs, the book of Song of Songs, chapter 2. And I'm going to read from the Passion Translation, but just look at me for a moment and just receive this. It says the following. Arise, my dearest, hurry, my darling, come away with me. I have come as you have asked to draw you to my heart and to lead you out. For now is the time, my beautiful one, the season has changed, the bondage of your barren winter has ended, and the season of hiding is over and gone. The rains have soaked the earth and left it bright with blossoming flowers. The season for singing and pruning the vines has arrived. I hear the cooing of doves in our land, filling the air with songs to awaken you and guide you forth. Can you not discern this new day of destiny breaking forth around you? And so, what God is saying to his bride is that the season of winter is over. Does that resonate? And I know we're about to go into winter, but in the kingdom, we're not dictated to by the natural, are we? And here he's saying that the season of your barren winter is over. Okay, that's for you. That's for you, all right? The season of your barren winter is over. He says, I can hear the sound of the cooing of doves. I can see the blossoming of flowers again. And I feel this morning that God wants to say over people, today the season is changing over your life. Does that witness with anybody? Does that resonate with your heart? Okay, so let's put our hands up like this. Let's raise our hands to heaven this morning, every single one of us. Maybe if you're sitting down, won't you stand to your feet just for a moment? Let's raise our hands to heaven. I'm gonna pray this and prophesy and declare this over your life. Father, this morning, we partner with your word and Holy Spirit, and we declare a change of season for many people, Father. Lord, we declare that the barren winter is over, and we declare a season of singing, a season of rejoicing, a season of blossoming, a season of flourishing, a season of fruitfulness. We declare that no longer will we walk around the desert. This is a crossing over into the promised land that you have for each and every one of us. Just say amen. Say yes to that. Just take a hold of this word, that this is a new day that is dawning upon many people's lives. I'm not talking about external stuff so much. I'm talking about your heart. I'm talking about your life, your relationship with Jesus. I'm saying today is a new day of destiny in your heart and in your life. And I see freedom all over you, freedom coming, the singing of songs again, the rejoicing. Many of you have lost your joy. God is saying today, I'm pouring out new joy into your heart. Just breathe that in. And just as we remain in this space, the last thing I'm going to do is this. I want to pray for that activation of the train ticket. I want to pray that the Holy Spirit would activate his potential inside of you, activate your calling, your purpose, the reason that you're alive. So, Father, I pray this morning, Holy Spirit, that you would come right now and awaken, untie, but activate potential and destiny in each and every one of our lives. God, we speak that out and we declare that this morning, Father, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Guys, I want to remind you that you were created to be someone, that you were called to do something. And nothing is impossible for those who believe. Okay? Come on, Jesus. Just give him, just put up your hands and just give him praise this morning. Just give him praise. Just say, God, thank you for who you are, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Just lift up, come on, just lift up your voices and just say, Jesus, we love you. We give you our hearts, God. We praise your name, Lord. Thank you, Father.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.